This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Prescott back, throwing it out too high and intercepted on a deflection off the hands of Jarwin. Picked up by George Odom, the safety. He's still running.
It's our favorite exercise here on a Cowboys Monday with Sean Shreve. Pat Doney, NBC5, is in for Choppy. Everything's going to be okay. They're still going to win the division. They're still going to the postseason. They're just not, in my opinion, a major contender. Pat may disagree, but let's wrap up yesterday first after a 23-0 shutout loss at Indianapolis. Grade the game for Dakota, Rain, Prescott. Here are the final numbers. 877-881-1053, Autoflex Leasing Fantex. 877-881-1053. 24 of 39, 206, an average of 5.3 yards per pass, zero touchdowns, Patrick, one interception, sacked three times for 26 yards with a quarterback rating of 64.7.
And didn't run the ball one time.
Didn't run the ball one time.
Which I don't understand at all. yeah, that's not exactly a formula to go win on the road. It's probably a D. I mean, it was a bad performance, maybe his worst performance of the season. You know, the sacks are a huge problem. Can't tell you how many times you watch and he drops back and he holds it and he holds it and he holds it. And if the receivers aren't there, got to figure something out, man. You can't just punt on that play and basically give up 8 to 12 yards in that situation. I don't care if it's tucking it and going, get to the sidelines so you can just throw it away. Whatever it is, got to figure something out. Holding the ball too long. He had a bad day, and he hasn't had a lot of great days. He's had a lot of just kind of average days, and so Cowboys fans are looking for somebody to blame when they play as poorly as they do. And so the guy who has been very good in the clutch, you know, in his career and has made plays when it matters most a lot of times in his career, in this situation, not so good. It was a bad day.
Sack number 50 happened yesterday, and courtesy of my man Bobby Belt, that's the most in Cowboys history.
Yeah.
The 50th quarterback in NFL history to get sacked 50 times or more.
I think he had 25 in 2016, so he's doubled it.
There was one sack that I thought just knocked him out of a field goal attempt. It would have been a 54-yarder, and instead he takes the sack. There just has to be a 1-1002. I want to ask Garrett the QB clock, the sack clock, because he played the position, and this is a recurring problem every single week for the Cowboys quarterback. What's your grade there, Dub?
Well, he's got two options, right? He can either throw it out of bounds, or he can throw it at his offensive lineman's feet and hope the referees don't call intentional grounding.
He can throw
it up,
right? Like Tom Brady did yesterday with that awful interception Tom threw.
That was terrible.
Pittsburgh.
Or how about any of the throws he made on the final drive of the game that gave his receivers zero chance to make a play? Like, they weren't even close. Dak Prescott, now been sacked 51 times on the year, one behind Deshaun Watson for the league lead. That's 19 more times than he's ever been sacked in his career, and we still got two games to go. It's bad. And his pocket awareness is the worst pocket awareness for a non-rookie quarterback in the NFL. He has no sense at all of where pressure is around him, how quickly it's getting there. And the pump fakes. Someone's got to eliminate the pump fake out of his repertoire because he's not using it as a weapon to move bodies, you know?
Wait, there was you just say he has the worst pocket awareness? What did you say?
Of any non-rookie quarterback in the NFL.
Are you sure about that? Are you sure he's that bad? I don't think he's that bad.
His pocket awareness is atrocious. You don't think it's bad?
He's held the ball too long this year, but he makes plays too. I mean, it was bad yesterday. That was definitely his worst performance of the year, and it's low-hanging fruit right now.
No, but he's been bad. He's got 12 fumbles on the year.
That's been terrible.
That's a career high. That's a high in the NFL by a large margin. And to me,
his clock is broken.
That lack, but also those fumbles tell you he doesn't know where the pressure is around him because he's not securing the football. Like, he's allowing himself to lose it and fumble it in these situations where he shouldn't be fumbling the football. They definitely can't afford to have those types of turnovers. So, yeah, those issues have clearly cropped up, and they cropped up yesterday because I think the Colts took away kind of what the Cowboys have had so much success with. Amari Cooper had 7 targets. He had 4 catches.
Yeah.
You know, they took him out of the game.
This is why I gave just a B- after the Philly game, because they had 9 points before the fourth quarter.
They've got 9 points now in their last 8 quarters. Outside of that fourth quarter, 9 points in their last 7.
They only scored 13 against Indy, and even though he put up 455 yards, and this is why I always argue with RJ, you know, it's about watching the game, not putting the Denver Broncos as the fourth best team in football because of VLMNOP, whatever formula he relies upon for all his football takes. Dak Prescott wasn't playing that great. And you can give me all the clutch stats, and you can give me all the Romo comps and all the win record that you want. Yesterday, the reason I'm not shocked and I'm not upset is because it's not that surprising. Dak not happy after the game.
The way we didn't give ourselves a chance just pisses me off, pisses everybody off. So, I mean, we knew it was on the line. I mean, that's been on the line. It'll be on the line next week. So, I mean, we just got to go and get better this week of practice.
Said it was the first time in his life he's ever been shut out, by the way, in a game. Thought that was interesting. Also, good note on the fan text line here. I think it's interesting, too. His pocket awareness, you know, the clock, all that, it's changed this year with the change in the offensive line. That probably needs to be mentioned there, too. He's never really had to have
the Chaz Green debacle.
That's true, too. But I'm saying he's never really had to have his, you know, have the awareness that he's having to have this year because the offensive line has been so good that maybe it's masked some of those problems with understanding when he does need to get rid of the ball.
I understand that take, but I mean, also, as Sean points out, if it started at Chaz Green, then we've had it now a year and a half. I mean, we've had a year and a half to like start working on it and improving upon it, and it's gotten worse than it was a year ago.
He was high on the Jarwin pick, I thought. People were freaking out. Bassick actually went at him for the Olawale throw.
Now,
my gosh.
I did think it was underthrown. Look, really? That's a catch any professional catcher in the sport has
any
to be able to.
Kid.
Come on, man.
You have to be able to make that play. But Jermaine Olawale, I mean, he's had 1 target all season.
Yeah, but the throw, I mean, the throw was
it was
more
a little
than
underthrown.
Fine.
There's a funny.
What do you mean? That was a perfect throw. If you're a dad with a 5-year-old son, and you want him to catch it in the backyard,
yeah,
such a hater, man.
You're trying to lob it in so soft.
Troy's
got a great point. Troy's got a great point. You're like trying to lob it in so soft to make it easy.
Come on,
but then it flattens and it just like drops down out of the sky.
I'm the biggest Dak critic of them all, and even I'm like, come on, man. There's no blame on Dak.
It wasn't a good throw
for that. It wasn't a bad throw.
It's a play you should have made, but it. The throw could be
It
bad.
Wasn't a good throw. I mean, it didn't hit him in the hands because his eyes were closed. I mean, like,
yeah.
it was a perfect throw. It was a great design. It's a play that an NFL player makes 99 out of 100 times, and it just didn't happen.
Here's how sad the offensive performance was. The only other play I'm going to ask you guys about with a Dak throw, God, this is sad. The Allen Hurns one.
Oh.
Was that, did you guys view that as a missed opportunity? When Hurns very early on, this is the only time I can think of them throwing down the field. This is the only, like, the one time I can think of. Was that like a horrible missed opportunity with the Hurns one?
I would love for him to give him a chance on the play. And there was no, I mean, that's what we've seen now the last couple of weeks that has been frustrating has been, I wish that he gave these guys an opportunity. You have one-on-one coverage. And I mean, Michael Gallup and Amari Cooper and maybe Allen Hurns. But I mean, these guys, I mean, if they're going one-on-one, you have to believe that they're going to either make the catch or get pass interfered, you know, probably 50-50 on that play at least. Not if you throw the ball 10 yards too far or out of bounds. That is disappointing too.
So, oh man, I wish you guys could have been in Allen for this fan hang with me and KT going at it over Dak. It was special. And I didn't rub it into him yesterday that I was, you know, absolutely right and football expert, but I wanted him to realize the error of his ways. And I couldn't wait to come in here and give it to Roy today either. But
I think you got through to him?
No, I don't. All I care about is getting through to you because I have to work with you every day. Are you worried about the NFC East? Ugh, we had the Mavs lose. We had the Stars lose, the Cowboys lose, and this.
And I know it was on the fan last night, but I just want to hear an 80-year-old scream.
Here comes the rush. They're coming in. He is firing. Incomplete! Incomplete! The game is over! The Eagles win! Intended for Reynolds! The Eagles win! They have upset the Rams!
Man, that was pretty much a game that Philadelphia controlled. They go on the road with Nick Foles. They got a stress fracture for Carson Wentz. Probably going to knock him out for 3 months. And here's Filthy staying alive with a win on the road. And the Redskins behind Josh Johnson, who had to learn the names of his teammates by going on a video game and playing Madden. They beat Jacksonville at home. Everything went wrong in the Metroplex sports-wise yesterday.
It was not good. I mean, and I thought there was no way that the Eagles were going to go into L.A. and win that game. Jared Goff looks bad, man.
Yes.
That was not – I mean, I know he threw for a lot of yards, but some of those
interception.
The fumble late in the game that went like right into the other – I mean, I don't know if it was an interception or a fumble. The one that went right into the defensive lineman's hands as he was getting hit. I mean, that – yikes. And so now, I mean – the Eagles seem to have a – I mean, Chris Collinsworth kept saying over and over and over and over again that the Eagles with Nick Foles seem to have caught a little bit of that juju from a year ago. You know, like, I mean, he's not making that up. He's probably heard that from somewhere up there.
Yeah.
I mean, yikes. I thought it was completely over for them. It's still probably over, but that was impressive what the Eagles did last night.
Here are the NFC standings. You got the Saints as the one seed at 11-2. They play tonight on the fan against Carolina. The Sharif Kavanaugh fantasy semifinal will be decided. The Rams are number two at 11-3. The Bears are 10-4 in the three spot. We are in the four spot, okay? If we beat Tampa, NFC East Championship, you can also have the other teams lose, and the Cowboys clinch the division by Sunday before their game is even played. Number five seed. The Seattle Seahawks, who lost to San Francisco with an opportunity to clinch. Weird, bad losses happened, guys. Minnesota sitting there as the number six. So Philly is there at 7-7. The Redskins are 7-7. Carolina is sitting there at 6-7.
Has to play the Saints tonight, you know, and so you're picking New Orleans, I'm assuming, to win that game. So they're probably going to be 6-8. You know, this is why when I have a lot of people reach out on social media or the fan text and all that, you know, this Cowboys team is a make the playoffs and no playoff win team. Order. You really don't think they can beat the Vikings or the Seahawks at home?
I do. I do think they can.
I do too. So that's why, do I think they're going to go on the road and beat the Rams or the Saints or the Bears? Probably not. But I do think that they're a get-in-the-playoffs-and-win-a-playoff-game type of team this year. And with the defense they have a shot against those other teams. But don't come to me and tell me that this team has no chance to win a playoff game when you're probably going to be playing either Seattle or the Vikings and Kirk Cousins at home.
And let me just answer my own question. I have zero, none, zip worry about the Cowboys winning the NFC East.
Yeah, me
either. You have Tampa Bay and you have the Giants. If you can't get it done, then the good news of that will be maybe Garrett gets fired. That could be the good news. So either way, it's a win-win, in my opinion. You bottom out and you somehow lose the division or lose a playoff spot. That's the only opportunity for JGZ to get run. But you're winning one of those two games and you are going to be a playoff team. Done. Period.
The Cowboys lose to the Bucs, though. You're not feeling it a little bit? Because here's
why. Yeah, I feel it a little
bit. Because if Philly and the Redskins win this upcoming weekend, they play each other in the final week of the season. So if they win this weekend, one of them is going to have won out, and that means the Cowboys cannot lose out, or they would lose the division.
Yeah, I'm all right. Washington's at Tennessee.
Because right. I think we're going to look at this, you know, now we're going to look forward, and we're going to say this Bucs game is like a gimme.
It's not a gimme.
No.
It's going to feel like that, though, as we get closer to Friday. We're saying that now that it's not a gimme. When we get closer to Friday.
Tampa's been a little bit tougher. By the way, the Eagles are getting Houston as well.
Yeah,
so.
And the Giants are terrible.
But a winnable game, that's at home.
Did you see any of Eli yesterday?
I mean, the Giants are out.
But that's who the Cowboys play the last week, yeah. And they can win that game,
okay,
too.
But the Cowboys playing them, you know they're going to bring everything.
Yeah.
And the kitchen sink. And they'll have nothing to lose.
They don't have a sink.
I mean,
that's the good
news. That's the problem. Is Eli
Manning.
They
got a Brita.
They'll probably have OBJ, though.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.